Reading for today is taken from 1 Peter, the second chapter. And he writes by inspiration, "For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen." A hook is quite often equated with something negative. If you're a baseball pitcher and you get the hook, it's not a good thing. It means they're pulling you out of the game. In fishing, from the fish's perspective, hook means death. In vaudeville, they actually had a huge hook years ago that would go out onto the stage and pull bad performers off the stage. I guess recently it's been replaced, that concept has been replaced by what's called dropping the cow, which comes from Monty Python skits. That was the sign you failed on stage, when the cow would fall onto the stage. But getting the hook was not a good thing. And as little children, you may remember the story of Captain Hook and all of the evil. So a hook, quite often in our minds and hearts, represents something bad, something negative, or something dangerous for us. But that's not the case when it comes to the hook at the top of the shepherd's staff. The hook at the top of the shepherd's staff is actually a beautiful, a comforting, and a wonderful symbol for us. It's a symbol of care. It's a symbol of protection. But it says something about both the sheep and the shepherd who uses it. This week is Good Shepherd Week, in the third week after Easter. First of all, let's look at that hook from the perspective of being one of the sheep. That hook represents something about me and you. It means this, that in our hearts there is a built-in tendency to want to wander away from what God would have us know and believe and follow. There's a strong desire and tendency in us to not be under the authority of the voice of God. We want to be self-governed. We want to be self-ruled. We are autonomous in how we would like to operate our lives. Do I really need a nanny? Do I really need a babysitter looking over me? Do I really need some oversight from a pastor or from the Bible or anything like that? I don't need that. I don't want that. There's a tendency in all of us to think that way. And we can deceive ourselves into imagining that if it were possible to get ourselves out from having any oversight over us and having anybody kind of controlling us, that our lives would be so much better off. That my life would improve. It would be to my advantage if I no longer had to worry about someone watching over me. And sometimes we talk as Christians about the dangerous voices that are out there in the world trying to compel us away from Christ and things like that. But let's be really honest. The one that we really need to be worried about is that one that looks back at us in the mirror, that just doesn't want to listen to God, is just sick of having God have oversight over us. Our sinful human nature that's looking back at us in the mirror is the primary one we need to be concerned about in that regard. And just like wandering sheep straying from a shepherd, we think it's going to benefit us to not have that oversight over us. And it would be better for us to get to decide where we want to go, what we want to do, what we want to think, the things we want to look at, the things we want to be involved in. It would be so much better for us if God would just get out of the way. But it always ends up being detrimental for our spiritual lives and our lives in general. I'm sure there were days when I was in fourth grade that you could easily have convinced me and my friends that it would have been better for our classroom if our teacher didn't show up one day. And that would have been a blast. And we could have been convinced that that would have been a much better day at school for us. But I'd like to see that classroom at 3 o'clock. We assume that the shepherd who is calling to us and speaking to us through his word and through the office of the ministry really doesn't know what he's talking about. He really doesn't know what it's like to live in this modern age. He doesn't know what it's like to be us today. And so the word that he gives us and the direction that it provides, we sometimes are tempted to think is just irrelevant for our generation. Pastors, when they get together for big conferences, will often have a time that is known as casuistry. Casuistry to us means that's a time when we kick everybody else out of the room, shut the doors, seal off the room, and we talk about confidential issues that are taking place in the various places where we're serving in the ministry. We never share names, but we bring up situations and try to ask each other advice and help. I've been in the ministry about 28 years now, and I've sat through many of these casuistry sessions. It's amazing all of the different ways that the sheep can come up with to not want to listen to the Good Shepherd. It's just absolutely astounding. All of the types of ways and issues that we just have a tendency to just get away from Christ and don't want him to have anything to do with us and don't want to listen to him. And when his word comes and speaks to us, it's still hard for us to listen. But let's consider the hook at the top of the shepherd's staff from the perspective of the shepherd, because it says something about him. It says that this divine oversight and the position of being over the sheep is not only necessary, but it's really for the benefit, the security, the comfort of those who are being watched. Notice that Peter says that you have returned to the overseer of your souls. That's a great expression, the overseer of your souls. Now think about yourself, okay? Think about your life and who you are. At the deepest core, at the deepest part of who you are as a person, deeper than the bones and the blood and the veins and the thoughts of your mind, at the deepest core of who you are as a person is this soul, is this spiritual aspect of who you are. So where did that come from? Did your parents come up with some concoction they found on the internet? Did you just kind of evolve that way from a swamp? Where did that come from? Where did that soul, the deepest, most inner part of you as a human being, where did that come from? God made it. The Almighty God of heaven made that. And he's the one that knows what it is. He's the one who designed it. And he's the one who knows what's best for that soul inside of us. And so that's what this is really about, is guiding and taking care of the deepest core of who we are as human beings. And he knows what's best for that part of us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the great good shepherd, the overseer of our souls, he doesn't force you to be part of his flock. He wins your heart. He wins your soul to want to listen to him and to follow him. And he's done that by himself suffering for you, going to the cross, taking all of the guilt of our wickedness and the times that we stray on himself so that God would never curse us for that, instead cursed him. And when you come to know that and find out about his tender, gentle love and his forgiving nature and the fact that he cares so much about you that he did that, even felt the flames of hell so you would never have to know what that's like, when you understand that about him, it's through that message of the gospel that he grabs your heart and says, I want you to be part of my flock. I want you to be under my care, and I'll be your overseer. And the heart of the sheep at that time, by the work of the Holy Spirit, the heart of the sheep says to himself and herself, if he's been willing to do all of that for me, he sure must love me. I better listen to him. Because no matter where he tells me to go or what he wants me to think or do, it's going to be for my best interest. By God's grace, you have been made a part of this amazing flock of the Holy Christian Church. You have been blessed to recognize his voice. You have a future in front of you that is just out of this world. And so let us live in this flock. Let's be part of it. Let's preserve it. Let's love it. Let's support it. And let's promote it in this world and in our personal lives. We are his people. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Please join me in the prayer that you find printed responsively in our bulletin. O Lord God, we thank you for the grace which sent Christ, our good shepherd, into the world to lay down his life, ransoming us from the power of evil and liberating us from the fear of death. We praise and bless you for his resurrection and the glorious promise that all who hear his voice and follow him shall also be raised to life. Give your church the desire to follow our Good Shepherd and to seek others who will be brought into his fold through the proclamation of the gospel. Direct our paths through the temptations and uncertainty of our times. Grant us true faith and a godly heart. When our last hour comes, take us safely into the green pastures of our eternal home. Through Jesus Christ, the overseer of our souls. Amen.